welcome to the Grizzly Show. Let me first start by saying that politics and religion have no house here. Only bullshit, good times, and local music. I've got a good friend of mine here in the studio with me. His name is Jonathan Batten, and he goes by the name of Johnny Bad. And, you know, he's a hell of a fucking songwriter. And, well, let me introduce you to him. Johnny, how are you doing?
Hey, what's up, man?
You doing all right today?
Excellent, man. I'm super happy and excited to be here, man. Thanks for inviting me out.
Hell yeah. Well, you know, shit, what'd you do today, man?
I got off of the boat, and because I drive boats for a living.
Boats?
Yeah, I drive tugboats, harbor assist type thing, help dock ships. They pay me money to ride around on a boat, and actually, I played a lot of video games today.
A lot of video games, huh?
Well, at work. At work.
Oh, yeah, that, yeah, I bet.
Yeah, yeah, they could be, yeah. Paid me. Right on. Paid me for that. And then drive a bunch, and got home, work out. Really, I'm just there to stare at chicks and pretend I'm not fat.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Other than that, I've been just getting stoked to be here, man.
Hell yeah, right on. We'll get right to it, man. You know, like, the big thing that I have to ask you in this is only because I personally know you. We're going to pretend that we have at least a listener today.
Okay, all right.
And I would like you to tell me, why is it that nobody knows you outside of our friends?
Man, I just don't, I don't play shows, for one thing. I've done a few here and there, mainly because of you and kicking me in the ass and, well, yeah, and forcibly signing me up at a fucking bar, unbeknownst to me. And I've been told, oh, hey, so you're on the schedule. Oh, okay, well, I guess I'm doing that now.
Well, you know, and, you know.
But I've never been super comfortable playing on stage, and I've tried pushing through it a little bit, and right, at least in this particular setting and what I'm doing right now, I'm just not comfortable.
Now, is it stage fright, or is it just like lack of confidence, or what is it?
No, I think it's mostly that the type of stuff that I'm doing seems it's a little heavier. You gotta listen.
Heavier in the sense of I guess, lyrically content.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, content-wise.
Right, because, I mean, you do generally just acoustic sets. You,
yeah,
don't,
acoustic
you don't do
solo.
A whole lot of electric.
Yeah, 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 I just do acoustic solo, and it seems like that, like, when I'm out at a bar, I want to hear a band like your band, where I'm, like, fucking shit kicking and fucking slinging beer around and having a good party time, right, man, right. And fucking shit up.
Right.
And there's our explicit label for the podcast. and my stuff is a little slower and a little you know, kind of pitch. I feel it's boring.
Well,
it's boring. It's boring to watch.
Okay, you know, I do. I've always appreciated your humbleness, I guess. What would you describe as your basic demographic? Who are you playing to? Are you playing to, like, the old lady with the wine glass that's sitting there wondering about how fucked her life up, or are you playing to the guy that just got off of work and wants to just kick back? You know,
it's definitely the old lady's gonna walk out.
Well, that's, you know, yeah, that's always a plus.
No, right? It's like, you know, it's whiskey drinking and women chasing and you know, a lot of death, a lot of nomadic type,
right,
themes involved, very like motorcycle type cats, I guess. I know, like, I've always kind of felt like a nomadic and don't really know where I'm going kind of dude, and and that's the kind of people I hang out with, honestly, is rockabilly, hot rod, motorcycle type cats. And so it's not that I'm not playing to my demographic, it's that I'm not playing to my demographic at the right time,
right?
So, like, you know, you get done sloshing beer and you know, getting kicked out of the bar, and now you're at the house chilling by yourself, smoking a cigarette, relaxing. Yeah, that's when you turn on my shit. You
okay,
know?
So, okay.
It's a, well, it's a little more introspective. It's not a little more introspective. That's fucking pretentious to say.
Well, no, but I know what you're saying. It's something for, it's not necessarily a better live show. It's a better in the moment. You know, I mean,
yeah,
me,
yeah,
and you have sat around countless campfires.
Oh, yeah, that's my thing, on the, man. Fuck, you know, a stage, campfire.
Yeah, on the back porch, you know, and so. And that kind of brings me to my next question is, you know, when, and I mean this with all
gusto, when am I and everybody else going to be able to take something home after we get finished sloshing beers and having a good old time at the bar? Do we get to go home and relax, not necessarily relax, but to reflect on our lives and the awfully, amazingly bad decisions that we've made in our life listening to your music?
How yeah, Lord knows that's my music. Oh, I've made a shitload of bad decisions, and here they are.
Right. So my question is when are we going to be able to take that home?
Soon. I've been talking about wanting to do an album for a while now.
Any collaborators?
No collaborators yet.
Okay.
I think first time out of the gate, just going to do a 4-track, maybe 5-track, a little EP, just kind of get something out. And honestly, the only thing that really pushed me over the edge to finally recording and kind of getting my fucking shit started was, like, I was just tired of people fucking asking about it.
Thank you. Yeah, because that's the bottom line. We want to hear it. We want to be able to take it.
Oh, man, it's a lot of work.
Right. No, it is a lot of work, you know.
I mean, I found the fucking simplest way to go about it.
How's that?
I got a buddy of mine who'll do it for free at my house.
You can't argue with that shit.
Yeah.
I was like,
how much do I got to pay you? He was like, coffee and cigarettes.
Fair enough. If anybody out there knows the processes that go into recording and the amount of money that, I'll put it this way, the way that information travels these days, record labels are almost obsolete. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
Everything's out of pocket. A lot of these bands are learning how to do stuff on their own, DIY.
That's the way it should be.
Right. It really should be. But, you know, like I said, it's different from the old days where you were in the right place at the right time and there's this scout or somebody, you know, at least this fictitious guy that was watching you and said, hey, I really like your music, let's bring you in and let's record.
There's a suit at the back.
Yeah, let's record a $1 million album. And it doesn't work that way, you know what I mean?
Well, it's good. I think it's good it doesn't work that way. I mean, right. You can really push out the shit that you want to do. And that's why I want to do it at my house, because I'm comfortable there. I think I can, push out the sound that I want.
Right.
Really personally with my engineer is Tony Yonke. He's been working in the industry for about 13 years out of Austin. He's done a lot of he's done a ton of shit.
Right,
Austin.
So he's just going to go mobile and bring it down to your house and make you as comfortable as possible.
He said a bunch of shit that I didn't understand, and I was like, all right, cool.
Well, you know, oddly enough, you know, I'm sitting here, you know, again, I know who you are, and I know that you are the antithesis of introvert. And so it really is actually pretty shocking to me that you can't, rather I won't say can't, won't get on stage and entertain the hell out of us, because every time I've seen you live on a stage, it's been fantastic.
That's so crazy, because it just seems boring as fuck to me.
You know, I'm dead serious, man. It's always been a damn fine time. Okay, so who are you listening to right now?
Oh, like, okay.
Like, give me something you're listening to.
Okay, definitely my influences are...
I'm not asking for your influences.
Okay,
just what you listen to. What's in your CD player? What's in your MP3 player? Whatever.
Oddly enough, I just listen to a lot of punk and doom metal.
Okay. Any particular bands in general?
Doom metal wise, I love Mastodon to death, man. I love those guys, right there. Those guys, that they paint a picture, man. Yeah. They're like, I feel like I'm like reading a fantasy book.
I will have to say that their last album was a little disappointing.
Yeah, I wasn't giant on it, but Oblivion was fucking fantastic.
Right, right.
I mean, I felt like I was like fighting dragons and wizards and shit like that when I was listening to that, and then doing doom metal the whole time. Man. Like, I feel like if I was a WWE fucking pro wrestler or a soccer player, that's what I would come out to the stage to.
To some doom metal.
Yeah, yeah. Not that I can play sports or a fit in any manner, but I like to picture, like, would I come out to that? Yeah, I'll do that.
So, I mean, is there anything that you're listening to that's similar to what you do?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right now, Willie T. Taylor.
Willie T. Taylor is
a guy I just recently found. I don't know dick about him, honestly, man. I found him via a production company that did a film that I like.
What was that film?
The film was The Folk Singer.
Oh, The Folk Singer. Okay, yeah, the one with Scott Byrum.
Yeah, Scott Byrum and Paul and Jones. Possessed by Paul James.
Yeah, Paul James, sorry.
And so it was a Slow Boat Films.
So that's basically what turned you on to him. I mean, it's the fact that Slow Boat was the one that had, you know, you were looking up some Slow Boat.
Yeah, I think they just did a couple of videos for him, and some backyard sessions or whatever. And it's like this guy playing on like a 4-string guitar, doing some really poetic folk.
So like a ukulele? I only know one four-string guitar outside of a banjo.
No, yeah, it's like it's a guitar with a banjo stock.
Gotcha.
It's
gotcha.
Like, I have no idea how it works. Yeah. I probably couldn't fucking play it either.
Right.
But gorgeous voice. So it was like him.
So it's kind of Americana.
Oh, yeah.
Americana that's, folk.
That,
you know.
That's definitely where I pull a lot of my inspiration from, because that really rings a, you know, the rail on me.
Yeah.
Is Americana and... you know, what do they call that? Heartland rock.
Heartland
type stuff and old bluegrass stuff. So,
right.
Like, I love Gaslight Anthem.
Oh, of course.
It's fantastic. I love
one of them. One of my favorites.
I know. Right, and the same way, Bruce.
Oh, God.
Justin Towns, Earl. There's...
So now we're going into your influences.
I guess.
No,
so.
That's fine. Yeah. I mean, you just skipped a question or two. Yeah. It's okay, actually.
Yeah, we'll roll right into it.
Rolls us right into it. Okay, now, secondarily, I guess, back to what I was saying before in the beginning, is that nobody knows who you are. To me, standing back, knowing you as a friend, as a brother, are you looking for success with this at all?
No, not at all, honestly.
You're weird. That's all I have to say about that. You are absolutely weird.
I like writing songs, and I'm writing them for me. I mean, that's the thing, you know? So if I get them written the way I want them.
Well, you write them for you, but, you know, you're so willing to share around a campfire or
on
a porch or things like that. You know, to divert a little bit, speaking of campfires, the Grizzly band, my band, played in New Braunfels just recently, a couple months ago, and it was this River Ruckus show. It was a lot of fun, but I guess the best part was the after show, when we're sitting at the cabin up on the hill, and we've got this campfire there, and we've got some of Texas' greatest songwriters.
That was fun. That was fun. I mean,
yeah, some of the greatest songwriters sitting around or at least new songwriters, around this campfire. And we're just passing around, you know, the guitar. Of course, me, I won't touch a guitar around a campfire. I'm terrible at it.
You're fucking nuts. I forced you to do it multiple times at my house.
Yeah.
I just got to get you drunk enough.
Exactly.
And you're fucking sick at it, man. Yeah. That's great.
Anyway,
it's good fun.
Anyway, you know, and everybody's passing the guitar around, and I'm sitting there telling the guy who put the show on, Sean Fife, sitting there telling him, like, man, I was like, you know, Johnny, I've known him for a while, great songwriter. I was like, you know, you gotta hear his stuff, you know. And he's kind of, oh yeah, whatever, you know. And then you grab the guitar and you start playing I believe it was Seven Brothers Dead. And that song is just, to me, is phenomenal. And you had every jaw dropped at that fire. I'm telling you, see, everybody there was like, who,
full of bullshit.
Who the hell is this guy, and where did he come from, and why is he sitting here, you know? And you were just a spectator. You weren't even playing the show.
I just wanted to see some good people, man.
Right. And that's what blows me away, is that we had probably 20 people around that fire that were you know, like, accomplished songwriters, and here you are belting stuff out that's got them dead silent.
Well,
like,
see, maybe that's the thing that bothers me, and I don't know, is that I want to know the people that I'm playing for. You know, it's like, I'll play for you any day. You know, it's like, Izzy Cox was there.
Yeah, Izzy
I didn't
Cox.
Know her, but she's a musician. I liked her shit. She was sitting there next to me. I'll fucking play for her.
Yeah.
You know, and a couple of other artists that were around the fucking campfire, I was like, I'm fine.
Yeah,
I'm fine with playing that.
Right,
you know, it's, you know, maybe it's me not having the confidence in the audience ability to
receive you.
Yeah, receive me, because I just feel so unconfident.
Well,
about
you know,
it,
and I guess, you know, and
not like saying the audience can't get it.
Well, and I've always
my
said,
shit ain't that fucking deep,
right? it's not even that. No, I understand to receive you. Well, I mean,
yeah, I'm just terrified they're gonna go, who's this asshole?
Yeah, and they probably are. I mean, to be perfectly honest, they probably are.
Yeah,
who is
yeah,
this
yeah.
guy?
Just
you know?
All the shit that I fucking read over the years. I'm like, I don't want to be behind a fucking chain link fence, you know, getting beer bottles thrown at me when I'm trying to fucking pull my heart out. You know,
yeah,
that's
no.
the part that fucking scares me.
And that's well, that honestly,
oh, it's the rejection.
Well, of course, you know, that's everything. You know, as an artist, you know, even as a musician, I mean, that's every show. I mean, you really have to deal with it, but it really comes with that over the time, you know, just doing it and forcing yourself into it.
The first time I ever played on stage, I did it.
This is actually my next question.
Oh,
good.
Well, fucking
roll right into it. How was your first show? Go ahead.
It was fucking terrible. I found this open mic at a bar in Katy, and I live in at the time I lived in Santa Fe, so not South Houston. Katy's North Houston, but Northwest Houston,
something like that.
And so anyway, it's about an hour and a half drive, and if you drive like me, if you drive like Chad, it's an hour.
Yeah, it's at least an hour. I drive like a grandmother. Yeah, make fun of me now.
So I found the one open mic that was so far fucking away, there wouldn't possibly be a person I knew there. So if I bombed, I just never tell anyone.
Right. Well, I mean, simple enough. Yeah.
Yeah, right, right. So I figured, oh, Katy, okay, the show starts at a fucking whatever time. I don't know. I'm like, well, there's a show there. I'll get there. So I figure I'll leave my house at 3 o'clock in the afternoon because there's going to be traffic at 5, right?
Right.
And traffic in Katy is like...
Traffic in Houston blows.
It's terrible,
I think everybody can definitely agree with traffic in Houston being...
So I leave my house. I leave my house at fucking 3, figuring I'm going to be stuck in traffic for 3 to 4 hours. I'll get there at 7. I get there at 4:30. And I'm like, oh, shit. Well, what am I going to do?
Drink.
Well, just drink beer.
Yeah, why not?
A, I'm nervous. B, I just love drinking beer.
Right.
So so I sit there and I'm fucking drinking a shitload of beer. I'm like, all right, I'm good. Finally, the MC shows up. He goes, oh, yeah, so you brought your guitar in, blah, blah. A, they're not wired to do just acoustic.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have an acoustic electric.
Okay.
So I can't even use my guitar.
Yeah, so you got to find someone to borrow.
Yeah, so I've got to borrow a guitar.
Awkward.
From somebody I don't know. Right. I'm like, great, this is...
I'm a professional.
Yeah, I was like, this is just starting out fantastic. But the group there was like super supportive and everything. Like, do great, you know.
How many songs did you play?
Three.
Three songs.
And I forgot the lyrics to every one of them.
Wow.
And so I finally got up there and everything. And I'm shit canned too.
Yeah.
Because they're just like, you're super nervous, here's a shot. Ooh. And And so I get up there and I start... You know, playing the song, and I can remember how to play it, but I can't remember where it starts.
Yeah. So you just got this long intro?
Yeah, I'm talking like 4 minutes.
Like 35, 100 bars?
Yeah, I was just figuring, like, what the fuck am I going to do? So I better just start making shit up.
Yeah.
So I just start talking to people, like, in the crowd.
And you have great banter. That's
the one
thing
I
just
start bantering with them and telling funny jokes and stories, and which is something I've kind of kept, is telling jokes in between songs. Because it makes me more comfortable, and B, I think it makes the crowd more comfortable.
Well, and it doesn't make us, and I will say us because I am an attendee. It makes us be a part of your show. It gives us that sense of being there.
Yeah, you know that's what I want. That's that whole
interaction.
That's that
whole
campfire feel.
Right.
Is that I want you to kind of like be a little closer.
Right. Absolutely.
And so it ended up really working out. But, like, one of the songs, like, I played, like, the third verse first, the second verse twice.
Yeah, well, but again.
Completely left out the first one.
No one has any idea.
Yeah,
they've never heard you at that point.
No clue.
Yeah.
But, I fucked up on the song, and I stopped.
Yeah.
And,
never stop.
And everybody was like, oh. and somebody yelled from the crowd, never stop. And I was like, fuck you, buy me a beer.
Buy me a beer, let's start this bitch over.
Just started it over and then played it through. Then got off stage, got yelled at from a guy for not washing my hands in the bathroom. And then I just fucking flipped him off. It was like, thanks for the fucking beers, and left.
And I'm out. Nice. Right on, man. Well, hey, you know, there's a particular song that I think, actually not a thing, that you absolutely helped my band, Grizzly, right, and it's one of my favorite songs, not only to play, but, you know...
it's definitely one of my favorite, man. I love this song.
This song is called Scratch 45s. It's one that we play and we've kept, and it was definitely you and Matthew together had kind of formulated this song.
That was a very drunk night in his garage.
I'm going to tell you, I was a little upset that
I know.
You told me about this, and I was like, well, why didn't they call me? You know, I was so upset about it, and I was like, he better not steal this song. It's too good, you know? And, you know, of course, between musicians, we don't ever steal songs.
Never.
But, no, and so this particular song...
No, I actually had very little to do with that. I just kind of pushed Matt in the right In a direction.
In a direction. Either way, you had your hands on it. And, you know, actually, I'm going to play it right now, mainly because we don't have anybody else to play, and I'm the only one that consents that we can play this stuff. So, again, I'm going to play this song real quick, and we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and Johnny's going to do an acoustic song for us here in the studio. All right. I hope you enjoy this song. The song's called Scratch 45s. It is by the Grizzly Band. Again, that was the Grizzly Band, my band. Like I said, the only band that I can actually play on a podcast. But anyway, I think we're going to get ready to hear some music live from Mr. Johnny Bad.
Yeah, man.
About ready to do it. What's the name of this song that you're going to be doing here?
It's a song called Seven Brothers Dead.
Seven Brothers Dead. Tell me a little bit about this song before you
before
get
you
going.
All right, that's a good one. It's a good story. I like the story behind this. Was sitting with Chad on a afternoon over at my shitty apartment, and he came up with a little a lick in the one line, Seven Brothers Dead. I loved it, man. I just thought, wow, that's genius, man.
It was seriously at the top of my head.
Yeah, it just came up with it out of nowhere. And
we were actually what we were to be honest, it was
were we jamming? I don't know. I was fucking drunk.
Yeah, it was like noon on a Wednesday.
Yeah,
literally.
I was giving it 3 o'clock, so it didn't seem like alcoholics.
Yeah, I think it was 3 o'clock because I had to work earlier that day. But no, and we were watching some. Actually, we were watching that.
We were watching Folksinger.
Yeah, that Folksinger movie. Yeah. And we started kind of doing some song swapping, and then we kind of wanted to do a little bit of a round where we were just playing a thing, and then we were gonna, you know, we'd start, you know, actually saying some words and kind of passing along, and that was the first line, and that was about as far as it got. And to be honest,
we were really too drunk to like really do a round.
Yeah, to be honest, he wrote this song way better than I could have ever wished to.
Well, it stuck with me, man. That one line stuck with me, and I was like that. Like the imagery kind of just kind of blew off of it. And after writing this song, there came to be really a few really strange coincidences involved
But between my family history and your own.
Which is completely fucking eerie coincidence.
Right, it really is, yeah.
And because my, you know, family's from, you know, Carolinas and blah, blah. You'll get the context of the song and stuff like that and family members and such, but... I wrote it not, you know, just on as I wrote it and then singing it for Chad. He goes, holy shit. Well, my uncle did this or my brother did this. And they were so closely related. It was fucking spooky.
Spooky, really. Well, why don't you spook us out and why don't you play this song for us, please?
All right, man. Well, this is Seven Brothers Dead, man. It's a story. So here we go. Seven different mothers, man. You know I hated everyone. And I swore one day that I carry no water, man. They ought to get what they deserve. Down in the paper rolls, midday summers. Down in the fields of Caroline. I'm too young to drive the tractor. I take my brother's water, help my sisters with the bacon inside. Now it's too many years of all the fist fights and cuts, man. They beat me all black and blue. They grind fresh grown peppers into my fresh cuts, so I know just what I had to do. Seven different brothers, seven different mothers, man. You know I hated everyone. And I swore one day that I carry no water, man. They are gonna get what they deserve. Now Big Jimmy, brother Ricky, a fair amount older, back in the year of 39. And they pick up the dates and daddy's old Model T. So one day I cut the brake lines. And about an acre from the house, I pushed Danny down a well. And nobody ever had a clue. And with a yell, I spooked the pins full of wild horses at a marshal trampled under hoof. And now we're out in the woods and flushing out the quail dead. He took a bad shot to the head. And then I sucked that quail to my other brother Jack so that he died with a belly full of lead. I had seven different brothers, seven
different mothers, man. You know I hated everyone. And I swore one day that I cared no one, man. They all gonna get what they deserve. Last it was my brother Brian, meanest one of all, squared, offended out a little more. Oh, but at the dinner table, I'd taken all I could, so I stabbed his eyes out with a fork. And now I'm caught by my daddy and can't play it off, and the sheriff, he took me away. And I'm rotting in a cell, but all my brothers dead, and I'll be laughing until my dying day. I had seven different brothers, seven different mothers, man. You know I hated everyone, but they all sons of bitches are just like me. So we all got what we deserve.
Damn, I love that song. God damn, I love that song.
Thank you, man.
Hell, you know, God, that's a... Man, just the story behind that, just it gives me chills. It really does.
Well, it's fucking crazy because the story behind that is that, you know, my family grew up pepper fields, tobacco fields, and my dad told me a story where there was the younger brother who was kind of pampered and everything like that, and the older brothers would beat his fucking ass all the time, yeah. And they would grind
typical brothers,
yeah, grind, and after they beat his ass, they'd grind peppers,
yeah,
into his cuts and burn the shit out of him, and they did all that, blah, blah, and so that stuck with me in my head, and so that's part of the fucking story. And then your part of the story, yeah,
was
is,
when my dad was at the breakfast table, and his little brother tried to take the last biscuit off the table, and
go.
He stuck him right in the hand with a fork, you know, so.
And I didn't know that before.
Right, he didn't.
Which is kind of crazy.
No idea.
And then come to find out, with my dad, never happened.
Yeah, well, that's what, yeah, I was actually there that night. We were in the backyard at your house.
Oh, yeah, I was telling my dad that. I was like, yeah, and this is why I wrote that. And he was like, that never happened. That's not our family history
at all. Well, see, you know, that lends to your, I guess, your imaginative
way
of writing. And you know, that's something that every songwriter really has to have is an imagination. You can't. There's only so much in life that you can take and draw from to write a song. And
oh, yeah, Lord knows my life is boring as fuck.
That's what I'm saying. the mundaneness, I guess. I don't even think that's a word. But, the things that happen.
The mundanity?
Yeah.
We tried that with a
mundanity.
We tried that with a word earlier, and it worked out, but that one did
that one, yeah. But, no, I mean, you know, with life being as boring as it is, you can't write everything about everything you do, you know? So, and hell, actually, we just had a... Mr. Nathan Bandor, the drummer of our band, walk in. Why don't you say hello, Mr. Nathan?
What's going on?
Yeah, it's a great guy,
all
man.
Right, there we go.
Great guy. Fantastic fucking drummer, man.
Yeah.
Just fucking, yeah, I'll stroke it all day, dude. It's fine, man. You're fucking awesome.
Right on, man. Well, shit, you know, I guess that, you know what I was talking about just a second ago about, you know, what again... You have an imagination, clearly you do, and that's again what makes your songs so interesting to me personally.
But it's, the storytelling aspect of things is I find incredibly interesting.
Well, and that's my point. You know, where do you draw your inspiration for your particular songs? You know,
I would guess to sum it up in two words would be passion and history.
There you go.
I know I was saying earlier, like, I really love Heartland type stuff, and that particular era of the Depression era was just rife with gorgeous music. I saw an interview with Bruce Springsteen one time, and I think it might be from the We Shall Overcome DVD,
which is an amazing DVD.
Yeah,
if you haven't seen it,
awesome.
It is phenomenal. He seriously puts together like a 30-piece band in his house in different rooms.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
In New Jersey, the same house he's lived in for fucking
while they're drinking out of jugs of wine.
Yeah,
literally,
it's fucking great.
It's one of the few times that you get to see Bruce Springsteen.
In his real element.
Yeah, in his real element. You know, it's in like Louisiana or something like that.
No. It's he did that at his house in New Jersey.
Oh, in New Jersey. Okay. Oh, I think the way that the house is set up, it felt like it was like I don't know, almost like muggy as shit.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah, yeah. They
humid.
Did the photo shoots.
What's that? Well, I know. I mean, I get it, but it
not do it in New Jersey.
Yeah,
right.
Fair enough.
They did the photo shoots for that at this beautiful plantation home in Louisiana, but I believe they did the actual recording in his house in New Jersey.
Right. Yeah.
That he's been living in for X amount of fucking years, like forever.
Well,
that he grew up.
He's a Jersey boy. Yeah. I mean, that's. I mean,
but anyway, so the point being the
where you those where type you grab of, your inspiration, yeah.
Yeah, where in front of he has this little quip in the interview where he says that these were the type of instruments that were meant to be played in front of union halls and in protests and at food drives and bread lines and the types of stories that came from that were Steinbeck and Kerouac.
Right,
and,
working men. You know.
Yeah, like yeah. Real blue-collar cats and their stories. And I don't know, that really resonates with me. And, yeah, so it's all, you know, riverboats and motorcycles, that whole nomadic
gambling
life.
And the ramblers,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no such thing as ramblers anymore, you know.
Yeah, not so much, man. I mean, you try for it as hard as you can. You fail miserably comparatively. But there's a real romantic nature about that era,
right?
And so it's like I just want to be there,
yeah.
And so I try to when something really pops off, like I don't write songs very often, and I purposely don't, because if I don't have the fucking passion involved with them, because I've half-assed a lot of songs, and I just hate them.
Right.
And I don't want to hate my own fucking music.
No, I totally understand. You know, we get in, you know, when we get here in the studio, you know, and we're kind of pressured to write a new song. We've been playing the same set for a while, whatever, and we're pressured to write a new song.
I don't know how you guys do it.
It's not easy. It's hard to force
stuff out. Like, how do you not just go, fuck you?
Yeah.
You know, I'll do my shit when I do my shit.
Exactly, you know, but, you know, given the schedule that, you know, that we have, you know, playing shows and things like that.
Well, you guys are real musicians, so.
Well, okay, you can say that. But, I mean, you're a real musician, too. And that's, I guess, that's the, to sound cliche, that's the beauty and the fucking sadness all in the same time is that unless you're sitting around a campfire with us, when are we ever going to see you? You know what I mean? Like, it's actually... It's a little depressing, you know what I mean, for the fact that, you know, we've got a lot of good talent here in, you know, in the Bay Area of Houston.
Yeah, damn right we do.
You're one of them. That's what I'm trying to get at. I'm not trying to, you know, just...
No, like, incredibly...
Stroke your ego.
I'm incredibly flattered you think so. I hope that I can start moving into that venue.
I hope so, too. I mean, if I have to literally put you there
so hopefully
on the spot.
With this and... you know, get my buddy to record the album, and I kind of just like, let me like old man with a fucking walker stumble into this shit.
You know, I mean, hell, if you die in a smoky old bar with a guitar, you know, you can't argue.
I
would have
lived
that.
My life.
You've been successful, absolutely.
Yeah, would have died like you lived.
Hell yeah. Well, hey, you want to play us another one?
Yeah, man, I'll play another one.
Well, do us another one. Which are you gonna play this time?
This song called "Leave This Town."
Oh, another one of my favorites.
The it's a lot softer. Quieter,
but it's still it's a good song. I can relate a lot to this song.
I think that's great. I don't know how, because I haven't asked you before. So that I really want to hear how you can relate to this song, because I can tell you exactly how I wrote this song. Was I was sitting on the fucking boat. I'm on the boat for days at a time, no interaction with fucking real people, just my jackass crew members. I was gonna say. Who I love, but I don't. I don't like them all.
Fair
that
enough.
Much.
We don't love anybody we work with.
So I just kind of sit in my room, and I was, and I think I read something on like maybe Wikipedia or something like that about
everything on the internet is true.
Yeah, that's right. Bonjour,
bonjour.
I read something on Wikipedia about like riverboats that really like appealed to me, and about that whole lifestyle and the fact that I am a sailor.
Yeah,
and that we are just naturally, you know, nomadic,
right,
and self-sufficient and self-destructive all at the same time.
Yeah, well, and self-contained in general.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, yeah, that ends for like a volatile.
You
potion.
Sleep where you eat, you shit where you eat, and all that good stuff. Yeah,
well, yeah, and then we also shit where everybody else eats, and then fuck you, and we leave.
Exactly. Yeah.
but you know, like all that that nomadic kind of. Depression era, like on the river, stuff right. Like that was like really like move from one place, move to the next place, move from one place to the next place. But it was always an adventure.
Yeah.
And I love that about being a sailor and being a musician. You get that, man, yeah. Which you don't get sitting in a fucking cubicle.
That's, you know, the truth.
Knocking out code, you know. And just,
that's the truth.
So, I mean,
well, why don't you knock it out for us? Sure, let's hear this song and we'll discuss it afterwards.
All right, yeah, so it's called Leave This Town.
Mississippi River, thought I'd make my money running cold, but the trains left me without a single cent and a bad hand with no gold. Bad hand with no gold. I don't wanna be here when the storms blow.
Hell yeah, dude. Fuck yeah, man.
Hey, man.
Dude, no. Why that song hits me so hard, and I'll be real honest. It overall, in my life, it's always been go, go, go. You know what I mean? Like, I've moved from Houston. Well, actually, I take that back. I moved from our little town, League City. I moved to Clear Lake, and then I moved to Houston, and then I moved to Austin, and then I moved to the West Coast, and then I did. Mm-hmm. I was all over the place. I was getting as far away from where I started as possible for that exact same thing, to find something new.
Yeah, you know? That's kind of almost the whole point of that song, is that that's your nature.
Right. It's my nature. Every 6 months,
mine.
I get this itch.
It's
you know?
Yours.
Right.
It's yours. And it's a lot of people's names. You just immediately go, let me get the fuck out of here. Go adventure.
Start something new for a minute. You know?
For a minute. Maybe, yeah. Like, and that's the second context to that song is that it starts something new for a minute.
Yeah.
And so then, when that minute, that flash minute's over.
You have your boomerang town when you come back or you move on.
Or you move again.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's come back, leave.
Yeah.
You know,
for me, that's what Houston and Clear Lake is. It's my boomerang town. It's somewhere I always come back to.
Like, I know you've been to Seattle.
Yeah, Seattle, Portland.
You're in the Army and stuff like that.
Yeah, all over the place, you know. And so it makes, like I said, it makes it hard to settle down when I did decide to settle down, you know. And, you know, coming back here after, you know, years of being gone has really made me appreciate this place in such a different light, you know.
Well, I'm getting there.
Well, you know. Yeah, I mean, it takes time, you know. I mean, it took me a couple years
Like, straight out of fucking high school, you're like, fuck this
place.
Yeah,
let's get out. Yeah, let's go.
Black hole. Let me
find somewhere else to have fun other than this place.
Or just go have an adventure.
Right. You know, I mean, small towns, unfortunately, have that small town appeal.
Yeah,
in the sense that everybody knows everybody.
That's exactly why I did that song like that, was that he has his first adventure, and it peters out. So he finds nothing there, goes to this. The next place would be Milwaukee, and has his next adventure there, goes awry, gets the fuck out.
Right.
Next adventure, he's thinking, he never knows what he's looking for, and then he spends so much time never knowing what he's looking for, and it finally just goes all the way wrong, that when he finally finds home, he's dead.
Yeah.
And then that's not... There's romanticism involved in that, but that's definitely not the way you really want to live your life.
No, I mean, yeah, but I mean, that's what's...
But that's what's romantic about it. Yeah, I mean, that's what's romantic about being a musician or being a sailor or being in the military or, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. There's something very exciting about being nomadic.
About being sad all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, I mean, that's generally what it comes down to.
I mean, it's like, every time I hop on my bike, I'm like, fuck y'all.
I'm out. Yeah, you hit the throttle and you go. Yeah,
I mean, to twist and go, and so do all the bad shit.
Yeah, absolutely, you know. Well, shit. You know, we've got a few more minutes. You know, this is one thing I was going to ask you. I actually had a list of things that I was going to ask you.
Bonus question? Bonus round?
I do have a bonus round. Let's see what we got.
I'll take anal bum covers for 1,000.
Yeah, you can go ahead. Grab a beer. Speaking of beers, let me paint a picture for you where we're at here. We are in a dank room. That is dimly lit by
The AC kicked on, not as dank as it was.
Yeah, it's not as dank as it was. Dimly lit by a sloppily stapled string of Christmas lights.
That is, I was going to say, is that a stingray?
It's kind of a heart. It looks kind of like a liver on the ceiling. I'm not sure exactly what it is, you know. But we're sitting here drinking beers. You know, the rugs slightly reek of stale cigarettes and sour beer.
No urine or dead hookers, though. So.
Not as far as I know. As far as I know. But let's see. I got a couple more. Actually, you know what?
Hit me one more.
Here's the one that I'm going to hit you with, and we're just going to make this happen. It has nothing. This is completely sidetracked from everything we've talked about tonight.
Oh.
I want to know what your random thought of the day is.
Random thought of the day. Random thought of the day is, when the fuck am I going to start building motorcycles again?
Really?
Yeah, I guess it's not especially random, but it's been really heavy on me.
Okay. What kind of bike do you have?
Right now I have a 2009 Harley FXD B Street Bob.
Right on.
And that's my little present to myself. But it's
your
depressing.
Little baby, huh?
Yeah, she's my baby, but it's depressing as hell because I never get to work on it because it works.
But you get to ride it, right?
Oh, I get to ride it constantly, man, but... They're my other little passion aside from music is motorcycles.
Fair enough.
And I used to build Triumphs. I used to build old Triumph fucking Bob or vintage bullshit.
Right.
And I want to go back to build motorcycles and try and make it to Bonneville.
Bonneville. Oh.
I want to go race.
So you want to go to Bonneville, like fuck Sturgis and all that bullshit.
No. Yeah, I'm not. I'm definitely not the
into the biker lifestyle.
The biker culture. Man, dude, God, motherfuckers, dude. I found this fucking DVD on Netflix.
Yeah.
Of like Harley Davidson, the documentary, biker culture, and it's the most douchebaggy commercial thing I've ever fucking seen in my goddamn life. I went over to my bike and I immediately slapped a bunch of stickers on it and scratched the paint. Because I was like, fuck that bullshit. What I really want to do is find vintage bikes and I want to make them go fast.
Fair enough.
And I want to go out to Bonneville and I want to get that experience. That's the closest that you get this crazy drug high for being on stage. As much as I hate it, like 99.98% of the time.
Yeah.
You do get a fantastic high from being on stage, man.
Well, yeah.
And I can see how it can be incredibly addictive.
Yeah, well, and it really does come down to that, you know, and I've told you this 1,000 times. It's really a matter of just doing it over and over and over. You eventually get comfortable with it. I mean, I used to have such bad panic attacks before every show, and I don't care if I was playing to, you know, bar staff and 6 people or, you know, 500 people in the crowd. I had the same panic attack, and it just comes with just doing it.
Yeah, well, that first show that I did where they fucking showed up early and everything like that, the first open mic that I did, the guy running the MC or whatever, the guy running the show, was he goes, well, you only have to do it 120 times.
Pretty much, yeah.
And I was like, what are you bullshitting me? He goes, no,
damn
120 times.
At least, you know.
After that, you'll be good.
Exactly, you'll be comfortable
and
with
so
what you're doing.
And so I bombed on fucking stage or did okay, depending on however you look at it.
Yeah.
And he goes, one down. And I went, oh, well, that's terrifying.
yeah. You know, so basically, really? I know you do generally open mics, and I actually heard of one recently that you didn't tell me about that you went and did.
That was not planned at all.
It doesn't matter, you know.
You have a bunch of big motorcycle dudes feeding you shots and going, get on stage, we're going to kick your ass.
Yeah, so basically.
I'm going to get on stage.
What I'm telling you guys, if you want to see Johnny Bad, Jonathan.
Just go to a bar.
Find some bar that has an open mic. And hopefully, randomly, you'll be in the right place at the right time to have this guy grace your ears. It's really fantastic having you in here, and I really appreciate you doing this with me.
Man, I really appreciate you fucking inviting me on.
Hell
man.
Yeah.
This was a lot of fun, man. I think it went super well. I cannot wait to see the other people you're going to get on this, because I know with this area and the culture that we have specifically in this very small Webster area and some...
The Bay Area of
suburban
Houston,
area of Texas is a lot of really good musicians.
Yeah, and we're going to have a lot of good
you guys fucking included.
Well,
so
we are going to jock ourselves too much on this one.
Maybe a little bit, but I foresee there being a lot of really cool guests on this show, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, hell yeah. You know, I mean, actually, in a little bit of foreshadowing, Johnny Bad will probably in the future, not probably, most definitely be the co-host with me on these shows. So that's going to be a lot of
Woo-hoo!
Fun getting to banter with this guy and really basically just fuck with everybody that
I'm
comes
hoping
in
so.
Here. Because that's the idea.
yeah.
But anyway, again, we thank you so much for listening. This is The Grizzly Show. Keep tuned in to us and wait for the next show. If you want to check out Johnny Bad, like I said, if you find him at a campfire or at a random open mic or something like that.
I'm actually recording, like I said, in 2 weeks. So as soon as I get that done,
we'll
get the real Facebook page.
Yeah.
And actually get a link, and I'll probably post some stuff with links to the Grizzly page, which is actually called
The Grizzly Band. It's facebook.com/TheGrizzlyBand. That's where you can find us if you like the music that you're hearing. And also just thegrizzlyband.com will get you everywhere you need to go. We're also on Reverb, iTunes. The new album Victory is out right now, which is some of the songs that we featured tonight, not including the opening song, which is Onward and Westward, which has not been released, so feel lucky for listening to that one. But anyway, we're going to finish this out with another Grizzly song, and hope you like it. And thanks again for listening. I'll keep you guys posted on the next episode. Thanks again.